hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. Pray that you are doing well. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. Let me say that again. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island. Our phone number is 321-454-4263. And today we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to go through several verses, but we're going through this concept of what belongs to God. What belongs to God? Because the Lord's Prayer ends, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Because the kingdom belongs to God, and he has the power and he has the glory, then he is able to deliver us from evil or from the evil one, and he is able to not lead us into temptation, but he leads us to victory. And so we're looking at that. What belongs to God? I want to say thank you, today, to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need block or concrete work done, they are the people to call. They have decades of experience, and they know the strengths that are needed, the thicknesses of the concrete that are needed for various projects, and maybe you're looking to upgrade something. They know how to work the material, and I've watched them. They're not only have the expertise, they have the work ethic. I personally look at what they do and the weather that they have to do it in, and I look at it and say, man, there's got to be another way, because it is hot. It is hot. And these guys are not afraid to get up early. They're not afraid to tackle a big job or a little job. If they can be a blessing to you concerning a future block or concrete work need, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And again, the greatest compliment that I've ever heard about them is when we were dealing with a contractor and he said, hey, my concrete guy is your concrete guy. And he didn't know that. He found it quite interesting. So 321-536-5804. And that will set you up with an expert who can do great, great things for you. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We have talked about that the house of God is God's house. We have talked about his people, Israel. And so I want to begin reading in verse number 12. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of 2 Chronicles today. I'm going to read maybe 8 or 9 verses. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all the people. So I want to go back just a minute and talk about what was in the end of verse number 13 and in the beginning of verse number 14. If there is a drought, if there is an invasion of locusts, things that are destroying the land, or if there is a plague or pestilence that comes among God's people. So when the coronavirus broke out, I prayed for our congregation that not one person would be impacted, not one cell in their bodies would be damaged because of the coronavirus. Well, I've realized that here in the past few weeks that I need to expand that prayer covering and that authority, and that is that I also need to extend that prayer to finances. That I've known too many people who all of a sudden they're getting laid off because business has declined, and so I'm now praying that people's finances would not be impacted, and if it has been negatively impacted, that there would be recompense for that. And so, you know, I pray for our congregation that everybody will be blessed with wisdom and abilities and creativity so that they would be able to jump up into the highest tax bracket. I will tell you that the tax brackets are not designed to punish people who are successful. They are designed, in my opinion, they're designed to suppress people from getting up into those upper level incomes. I believe that God wants to bless you and I. I believe that he wants to bless us to make us a blessing. So God says that when there is negative impact on a national level against his people, my people, and you can find that that God's people look a great deal different than a monochromatic or stereotypical, this is what everybody in God's kingdom looks like. God's kingdom looks like every skin tone. God's kingdom looks like every height. God's kingdom looks like every weight that shows up on a scale. God's kingdom has representatives from every position that you could find in society, from the upper levels to the lower levels. There are presidents of countries and kings that are Christian, and yet there are people who don't even have a job that are Christian. Every level of the socioeconomic scale, male, female, young, old, it doesn't matter what demographic you fit in, Jesus shed his blood to forgive sins so that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it's very important for us to recognize that there are some people that God wants to be his people that are not his people yet. There are some who were his people that aren't his people right now, and he wants to bring them back. Let me take you to the book of Hosea. Hosea is an interesting chapter because it's a picture of God's relationship with Israel. And Hosea represents the Lord in his faithfulness, and Hosea's wife, whose name was Gomer, G-O-M-E-R, not Gomer Pyle, just Gomer, but she was unfaithful, she was a prostitute, and she represented the children of Israel, or the children of Judah, and their unfaithfulness to God. Verse number 2 says, of chapter 1, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, For the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy. Literally, that's what that name means, is no mercy. For I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. Verse number 8, now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami. And that means literally, not my people. So call his name, not my people, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come out of that land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. And God would go on to say to them that in the place where you were declared not my people, look in chapter 2, verse number 23, it says, then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. So the census, if you will, of what God's kingdom looks like, the people that make up God's kingdom, it is constantly in flux. It is constantly increasing. God, in his perfect will, is not looking to exclude anyone from his kingdom. Let me say that again. He's not looking to exclude anyone from his kingdom. Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient. The blood he shed as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But we have got to say yes, and we have a responsibility as the people of God to recognize that we have been bought with a price. And so Paul would write, you are not your own. I am not my own. There are many things that we may say, you know what? It's my body. Well, actually, my body is his body. In Romans, it describes that pre-Christ coming into my life as Lord and Savior, that my body was used as an instrument of unrighteousness. But now, because of Christ, my body is supposed to be an instrument of righteousness. So that means my mouth is supposed to be righteous. My mind is supposed to be righteous. The things that my hands do are supposed to be put to the plow for a righteous cause. My people don't act like other people. We are in a spiritual reality, and it requires spiritual beings walking in spiritual unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to bring about a righteous outcome. You know, the farther we get away from God as an individual, a family, a community, or a nation, or a world, the farther we get away from God, the more distance there is between us and the genuine love of God. God is love. There is no alternative source. You know, when supplies started running low in the coronavirus situation, people started saying, well, you know what? We need to fire up this factory over here. We can make ventilators, or we can make masks over here. We can help supplement the supply. We can look for an alternative supply chain for these things. We can do that. And you know, we have. There were industries that didn't make hand sanitizer that started making hand sanitizer. There were alternative supply chains. That is not a reality when it comes to agape, unconditional love. That love only comes from God. So the more our contemporary society separates from God, you will find that that it's going to be harder and harder to find people who genuinely love. And here's the thing. The Bible says that because the love of many will grow cold, that there's going to be people who are going to be falling away from the faith. We need to be people of prayer right now. And really, that's what the message of 2 Chronicles 7:14 is about, is God's people responding to a crisis, not with panic, not with fear, not with intimidation or manipulation, not through extortion, but instead, we respond like God's people are commanded to respond. Okay? If my people. If you will turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, there's an interesting passage there. It's something that every time I've read through the book of Isaiah, it is one of those things that has always intrigued me, because this is a passage of scripture about two long-standing sources of irritation for God's people. It is a prophecy that has to do with Israel, and it has to do with Egypt, and it has to do with Assyria. Listen to verse number 18 of Isaiah chapter 19. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the City of Destruction. That is ancient Memphis. Not Memphis, Tennessee, Memphis in Egypt. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, "Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance." Now, you need to remember that the Assyrians were a brutal, brutal people. They were the ones who literally invaded and devastated Israel. When Assyria invaded Israel in 721, 722 BC, Now, for some of you who might be a little bit younger, they use a different designation now, that's BCE, and so I'm going to, which they say stands before Common Era, but let me tell you, I still go with BC. before Christ. Christ was the turning point of humanity. And the most significant event in human history was Christ coming to earth. And so time is is divided there. What happened before Christ, what happened after Christ. And so AD stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. That's where our time scale is. We are now living in the day of the Lord. So 721, 722, the Assyrians, a brutal people who Jonah had prophesied to earlier, and he said, I don't want to go and preach repentance to the Assyrians. And so he would have rather run the other way. He would have rather drowned in the sea than to deal with the Assyrians. He didn't want them to repent. And God had to come to him and said, wait a minute. There's 120,000 people in Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Should I not be concerned about them? And so Jonah preached and saw a massive revival where 120,000 people, 120,000 people repented, from the poorest all the way up to the king of Assyria, repented, and God stayed his hand until much later when the Assyrians were conquered in battle. But God was concerned about them. Egypt had oppressed God's people very early, and they had started out a blessing, and they ended up oppressing. Okay? They started out blessing God's people, and they ended up oppressing God's people. But I want you to know that God was very concerned about the people of Egypt. In the New Testament, you will find that in the book of Acts, that there is a great revival that is going on. And all of a sudden, there is Philip is summoned away from a great revival that is taking place, and he is commanded to go out into the desert. It's in Acts chapter 8, where he encounters an Ethiopian eunuch who takes the gospel to Africa, to Ethiopia, and there ends up being a move of God that sweeps that area. Ethiopia in early church history was a tremendous anchor point, if you will. The church in Egypt was doing quite well. Some of the early church fathers had great impact on Egypt. And God is saying here in Isaiah chapter 19, I don't care what Egypt's past looks like. And quite frankly, I don't care what Assyria's present looks like. I want you to know that I want Egypt to be known as a place of my people, Assyria to know that I'm working in their midst, and I want Israel to be my inheritance. You see, anytime we try to segmentalize society and say this camp, this camp, this camp, we're doing something that God's really not into. Can I tell you, when you get to heaven, there's not going to be a Baptist section. There's not going to be a Methodist section. There's not going to be a Presbyterian section. There's not going to be a Lutheran section, an Assembly of God section, or a non-denominational section. It's not going to be segmentalized. It's not going to be the senior citizens, and it's not going to be the teenagers and the young adults and the nursery workers. It's not going to be broken down into that. You see, the only neighborhood in heaven is going to be around the throne room of God and around the throne, and it's going to be populated with God's people. We need eyes to see people as either currently the people of God or potentially the people of God. And both of those breakdowns require different communication skills. You don't talk to or you don't treat an unborn baby the same way that you treat a fully developed adult. You have to be sensitive to the situation so that you can bring that every person that you meet from one level of maturity to another level of maturity. Today, I just want to say that if my people, okay, God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, that the solution is not found outside of God's people. The solution to a society's problems is found in the actions of God's people. And it's not so much physically based as much as it is spiritually based. If my people who are called by my name, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know, whenever you look at something that is beyond your control, there's a couple of things that we can do. Either we can get angry or irritated about it. We can throw up our hands and give up and say, oh, well, I just can't do that. Or the third is we could do this. We could humble ourselves and say, God, I don't know what the solution to this situation is, but you do. You do. Our humility is actually a cry out to the greatness of God and say, God, I am so thankful. This problem might be bigger than me, but it is not bigger than you. I may not have the wisdom yet, but I know that you already have it. And so, God, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I'm going to pray, whether it's drought, whether it is destruction, or whether it is a plague on the land, God, I know you have the solution to this situation. And so I just want to encourage you today to humble yourself. If you've been redeemed by the Lord, say, God, I'm coming before the throne of grace, and you said I'd find help here, and I desperately need your help. We as America need God's help. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Jesus, only Jesus.